Hello, I'm Patrick Crowley. I'm with the Kentucky Retired Teachers Association, and this morning we're talking to Diane Oakley, who is Executive Director of the National Institute on Retirement Security. Diane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Pat. I'm happy to be with you.
Okay, I want to get some of your perspective on the situation we have in Kentucky, but first tell me about your organization. What does the National Institute on Retirement Security do?
The National Institute on Retirement Security is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that does research on retirement security and the value that having an adequate retirement brings to employees, employers, and the economy as a whole.
Okay. And so in the scope of your work and through your background, I know you've been in financial services and looking at this issue throughout your career, worked on the Hill as well. What's the overall retirement outlook for Americans right now?
I guess the best way I could describe it is challenging. To be very honest, for a lot of working families, many of them find it difficult to save for retirement for various reasons. Some of that is a number of people do not work for employers that offer 401k plans or any type of a retirement plan. We're just getting ready to do some research on young people just coming into the workforce. And a lot of them, even though they work for an employer who offers a plan to its employees, they may not be in a job category that's eligible for the plan, or they may not have been there long enough to be able to participate. So those are all key issues. The other thing I would say is, you know, again, Americans have been left on their own. And one of the things that comes out of that that I think has to give all of us pause to how successful was this experiment with 401k plans. When we look at the baby boomers who are still in the workforce, those people predominantly between ages 55 and 64, we found a couple of years ago as we looked at it that their median retirement savings, so this is the savings of the typical household in that age bracket, is only $14,500.
Wow.
And that's just not going to be enough to last throughout their retirement years. And those individuals, you know, they're closer to retirement. They don't have the benefit of being able to have many years of putting away money and then more years of relying on compound interest to make that money grow better.
Yeah. And there's a lot of change in the industry, which is something we're going to talk about, or in the retirement systems, which is something we're going to talk about in Kentucky in a minute. But let me ask you, I understand that the Institute has recently released a case study about a town in Florida that switched its public employees from pensions to a combined plan with a watered-down pension and a new 401k type account. It sounds like this change triggered a big exodus of employees. What happened here?
You know, it really is an interesting case study. The town in particular was Palm Beach. And in Palm Beach, Florida, they had made an effort over the years to have a very competitive compensation and benefits packages for their employees, especially their public safety workers. And we focused our analysis on the public safety workers because what really happened in the town of Palm Beach was they did this switch, and it was driven a lot by people who kept on saying that moving to a 401k type plan would be the best way to solve the unfunded liability that came to the plan as a result of the investment downturns during the financial market collapse in 2008-2009. And what happened was they put this plan in, they greatly reduced the defined benefit plan that covered their police officers and their firefighters, and they saw an exodus from the police and fire departments in a way in which they've never seen before. Typically, police and fire go to a town, they stay in that town, they know their community. You know, firefighters who've been through tough fires, you know, when another tough fire might occur, you know, maybe it's a high-rise apartment building, they know how to fight that fire. They've got the experience. They can help get people out to safety and protect our property. But when we lose those experienced workers, and what happened in Palm Beach was amazing. And if you look back at the years before they made the switch, once an employee was vested in that pension, they didn't leave. In other words, they had 20, 30 employees who picked up and left within the first 2 or 3 years after they offered this new plan and made it apply to everybody, both existing and future employees. So what they found was 24 police officers left who had been experienced and were vested, 33 firefighters left and in the next several years. And if you look back before that, they only lost one firefighter and one police officer.
Wow.
Who was at that level. So you really had this brain drain of experience, and this was particularly there as some of those firefighters and police officers could go work for the county, they could work for the state, they could go to another town that still was offering a defined benefit plan. There was no reason for them to stay with the town of Palm Beach. And then the other thing that happened in Palm Beach for new employees, so here they had to go out and they had to hire replacements for those 50 officers who left before retirement. They also lost 20% of their workforce to retirement because there were a number of police and firefighters who could retire, and there was no reason for them to stay. So they, you know, as soon as the change was done, they pretty much walked away. So they had to hire all these new employees, which they did. But then what was happening was those new employees would come to Palm Beach, and they would go through the police and firefighter academies. They'd start to go into their rookie years, and as soon as that was completed and there was another job in another town nearby, they left the Palm Beach police and fire departments. So there was this churning of employees. So in essence, where they thought they were going to save money by making this pension change, they actually ended up spending millions of dollars, probably up to $20 million or more, to train the new police and firefighters that they had to hire because of the changes they made to the pension.
And well, go ahead. I'm sorry, please.
I was just going to finish to say Palm Beach recognized that there was that this was a mistake. And within 4 years, the town council that had voted unanimously to switch to the new plan had to turn around and unanimously switched to shut down the defined contribution plan because it had no value to retain and attract those police and firefighters.
So given that perspective and research, what are your thoughts about the talk here in Kentucky that policymakers may look at switching teachers from pensions to a 401k account to help address the unfunded pension liability here?
Well, you know, the first thing you have to understand is that switching to a 401k plan in itself does absolutely nothing to address the unfunded liability that exists in the plan. The switch to a DC plan, it probably means that future employees are going to get less in terms of benefits because the DC plan, the employee has to save more money than when it's done in a group setting. And then the other piece of that is you also don't have those new contributions from all new employees going into the plan and working together for everyone's benefit. And so it actually ends up, in some cases we've seen, where the switch to a defined contribution plan actually harms the funding level of the DB plan. So it's not necessarily this promised panacea of saving something. But then I think you get into what will happen with teachers and other public employees. But, you know, the police and firefighters, obviously, I think, are perhaps the most dramatic, as the situation in Palm Beach shows us. They actually almost had to replace more than the force that existed when they made the change. Among the teacher community, you still have individuals that are experienced teachers, and you want to make sure that you keep those experienced teachers in the classroom, because those teachers are the ones who are the most efficient and the most productive. Studies have been shown that those experienced teachers end up having students who perform better on standardized tests that are given. And they also, you know, they understand the children that they have in their classroom. They've gone through the part of their career where they were learning and making sure that this was a career that they wanted. They're there, they want to teach, They know how to teach, and they deliver a good education to our students. And like with the police and firefighters, we don't want to lose those experienced teachers, because those experienced teachers really deliver the quality to our schools. They also help the new teachers when they come on board. If there's no new teachers, you know, experienced teachers there to help and mentor those new teachers, we're going to lose a lot more new teachers, just like they did in Palm Beach.
And I would also, going the other way, when new teachers are coming in and when teachers are getting out of school and looking where they're going to locate, I would assume that a solid pension would be a good workforce tool to recruit teachers into your state or into your community. And the absence of that could hurt that recruitment and retention, correct?
I think it definitely can hurt the retention. And I think on the recruitment side, what a pension says to a new teacher who's coming into the classroom is it says to that teacher, we want you here for your career, and we're willing to make the investment in you over the long term. So we really do want you to teach our children. We want you to get good at your job. And then what we want to make sure is that we have a benefit that increases every year so that you know that when it's time for you to retire. And I think this is especially true in a field that is still, you know, predominantly women. You know, women typically, as they get closer to retirement, are individuals who sometimes have to leave the workforce sooner than what they might like. Maybe it's to help take care of a parent or a spouse, help maybe even with their grandkids and their own children. So what the pension also does is it also assures that teacher that when she's getting closer or he's getting closer to retirement, they will have a plan that they can rely on and count on. And it won't be because the plan is inadequate that they have to stay teaching in the classroom until, let's say, their late 70s.
Okay. Well, so that's a great point. And Diane, as Kentucky continues to debate this issue and look at legislation on how they want to change the pension and how they want to address this unfunded liability, through your work, can you point to any other states, an example or two, where states have done a good job handling an unfunded liability?
You know, you don't have to look very far. In fact, in eastern Kentucky, you just need to look across the border into the state of West Virginia. West Virginia had a pension fund that for their teachers that was historically never well funded. The employees' money, just like it goes in Kentucky, the employee money comes out of their pay, their contribution goes into the plan. But quite often, the state did not make its contribution into the plan that was needed to make sure those benefits would be there when the teachers got to retirement. And so in the early 90s, West Virginia was persuaded to try an experiment and move the teacher plan into defined contribution accounts. And they did that. They did it for 17 years. There was no real improvement in the funding of that frozen defined benefit plan that happened once they had no more teachers going into it. And what they also found at the same time was that the teachers who had moved to the defined contribution plan and the new teachers couldn't afford to retire. Most of them had account balances that wouldn't enable them to maintain their lifestyle. And so they needed to keep on teaching in the classroom. What West Virginia was able to find was when they made a commitment to fund their teacher retirement system, they improved the funding of their teacher plan from 20%, where it was in about 2005. Today, it's almost two-thirds funded. Now, they still have challenges, and they still have a way to go, but that's a remarkable improvement in the funding level. And some of that came when the state had some, you know, unexpected resources and a windfall. They made a decision to put that money into the teacher pension because they also started to understand that we have to have a good education system. You know, we have a lot of challenges in our economy. Education is so much the cornerstone of where we're going to see growth in our economy and in jobs in the future, and getting a good education, getting good teachers in the classroom, all of that is paramount to having a more productive economic community.
Okay, Diane Oakley, Executive Director of the National Institute on Retirement Security. I want to thank you today for your insights and perspective on this issue. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Pat. Take care.
Okay, thank you.